Dr. Drew Rubin is a chiropractor who teaches for the ICPA, which is a Pediatric Chiropractic Association, and helping to assess, deal with neurological developmental issues as well as structural ones, which has become a strong force in chiropractic, what they call functional neurology, or the business of determining when something is off and how to help that person rehabilitate those problems, and the role of chiropractic in there, which has a tremendous impact on nervous system balance and function. So anyway, in a class of his that I attended, he had a demonstration of several different babies crawling, and this was taken from an advertisement where they suggested there were 29 ways to crawl or something like that. And then he looked close with us at some of those quote-unquote ways to crawl. And he pointed out that, in fact, there is one way to crawl, and there are the rest are aberrations, right? So what we find is that these kids show on their faces if they're having a good time or if they're struggling and straining. And he pointed out on several of them, right there on the advertisement, they're supposed to be so cute and so interesting because these children are showing us the different ways that children crawl. How when you saw the aberration in their movement pattern, you would also see the strain and the stress in their face, in their eyes, and that they were not having a good time. And this brings us to our point. If we want to be healing, we need to be having a good time. Now, we live in an age where there are wonderful techniques. The Rolf method, which of course can be intense to get, but keeps your body moving. Chiropractic itself, various forms of exercise and eating right, things that we can do to help our body stay healthy so that we can have a good time or at least a better time. When I was a child, I didn't realize it, of course, because as children, you don't look from the outside in until you've got a few years on you and some neurological development, you know, that way, where you can actually look at yourself separate from the experience you're in. But I was definitely not having a good time. And I did develop with abnormal metabolism. I developed with some changes in vision. I developed, as I grew, a short leg, which then caused me additional troubles. And whether or not that could have been dealt with or not, I've had success in my practice dealing with kids with short legs and getting their legs to grow. Almost always, if I catch them young enough, it appears, well, at least in every case that's come into my practice, they've been able to get their short leg lengthened. It stimulates normal growth to keep that nervous system balanced, to keep the torsion off the pelvis, to allow the normal nerve and blood supply to that leg to continue. So as far as I'm concerned, it looks like a very high percentage. Who knows, without a much bigger study, what percentage, but a very high percentage can be helped in that way. They just need some regular care from someone who knows how to balance the pelvis, which is something that I've made a specialty out of. That comes from my Rolfing background. Before I was a chiropractor, there was a lot of interest in the foundation and getting it balanced and getting it moving, getting the lines vertical, all of which made me think differently when I became a chiropractor, and has proven for certain things to be a tremendous asset. And so there are some things I send people to someone else for because it's not really my area of expertise. This is one that is my area of expertise. Anyway, I wasn't having a good time. And I bring this up because as we become adults and realize, hey, we're not having a good time, if we want to be well, one of the things we'll have to figure out how to do is have a good time in spite of the things going on around us, instead of waiting for a because, in other words, some situation to come up that would make us have a good time. What we need is to be able to have a good time doing whatever we're doing. And the more stressed your structure is, your nervous system is, your gut is, the more difficult it's going to be for you to have a good time in doing what you're doing. Have a good time talking with people, have a good time playing games, have a good time working on a roof, have a good time cleaning up the yard, have a good time cleaning the bathroom, right? All of these things, you definitely can have a good time. I had the interesting experience. My children are much healthier than I was when I was born and when I was raised. They're not perfect. It takes three generations to get rid of all of the health problems, and who knows if they're going to carry on what I've taught them. So they're not perfect, but they're much, much healthier than me. And I had two of them with me repairing a roof just yesterday, as a matter of fact. It's part of the motivation for me making this recording, this podcast. They were up there, and they were talking about what a good time they were having. And I was stressed about, all I could focus on was the stress about, oh, we're not getting it done fast enough. And I wasn't saying anything about it. I was just trying to, you know, do the job the best they can. They were actually doing an excellent job anyway. I had nothing to say, but it just was taking longer than I had. And I knew I wasn't going to get it done and was going to have to come back later and finish shingling this roof on a project house that I sort of inherited. So here was a challenge for me and a dichotomy that was very easy for me to see. More than a dichotomy, really a disparity, where I could see my children having a great time shingling this roof. And I was up there stressed, shingling this roof. And I was taking pleasure. I had things that I took pleasure in, such as my children doing such a great job and getting the roof done. But the focus, and this is, again, based on neurological stress, that focus tended to be more on things that I was not happy with. I wasn't smiling most of the time. I was not really just enjoying myself most of the time. And it hit me that this is a good way to discuss an important phenomenon. Now, early on when I learned natural healing, I had a gift. I truly believe a gift from God, because this was way beyond anything I could have attributed anything in this life to. It was just something that I seemed to come to this world with. And it was the ability to understand and believe natural healing. And early on, I went through healing processes and got results because I believed it, because I understood it, and I put them together. But one of the things that would always happen is when I would go into a cleansing or healing process that was uncomfortable, I would get excited because I knew this was a healing process. And I found out through sad experience in my practice that some people just don't do that. They have a symptom that comes up that's new, and all of a sudden the experience is bad, even if it heals them. I've had this happen a number of times with people that came to me in my practice for sciatica. And when I get a person with sciatica, I always strip out the sciatic nerve. Leaves them bruised, very sore, very uncomfortable. But most of the time, the symptoms are gone immediately. They have new symptoms from me, but symptoms are gone immediately. But in a few cases, it'll be 3 or 4 days, 5 days, sometimes more than a week, before it all settles down. And then they would be completely better. They've been suffering for years sometimes, literally years, like 5, 6 years, lots of years, constantly in pain with that sciatica. And I would get rid of it, and it would be gone in a week or a week and a half, you know, or usually a lot less time. But the soreness was all they could think about. And they would not continue any kind of care because it left them sore, even though it fixed them. So I understand this is a complex issue, and I'm not expecting everyone to just understand what I know and believe what I believe, or even have what I think is the best way be the actual best way for them. That people vary, they're changed, they're different. Not everybody's a good fit for every situation or every practitioner. It's just the reality we live in. But there is an underlying thread in our tapestry that we can yank on. And I hope with these podcasts, I hope one thing they always do, in addition to teaching good skills, is highlight underlying threads that are in the tapestry of everyone, which if we go to work on those and make them a healthy thread, the whole tapestry is brighter, works better, and responds better. And one of those is having a good time. being able to have a good time with the process. And I don't mean that you never have anything that you wish you'd done differently or anything that you understand there's a little urgency to. But that is not synonymous with not enjoying the process. And whatever you are going through, whatever you've created in your life as far as that process, you want to make sure that, you know, you're enjoying it now. So we create things generally because we have lessons, because we have imbalances, which is the same thing. And so we create things sometimes that are not ideal, and yet they are ideal because one way of looking at the world is that there is nothing except ideal things. These are lessons that come to us that are ideal lessons to help us become ideal people, to help us in a journey that each of us are on. And there's nothing but lessons like that. So you could argue that the whole human existence, the whole human experience actually is ideal. And so I don't want to get too philosophical here. And obviously there are points where, you know, people get stuck in a pattern that is against anything healthy or healing or anything of the sort. And that does seem like an unfortunate thing. But in the main, we would all do well to just enjoy this process. And so as kids, that's not going to happen. Kids need help. But as adults, we can get into this process and enjoy the process because we choose to. And we can start smiling more. We can start just looking at the situation we're in and just enjoying the good that is there. And there's good in every situation. I've been in some tough situations and I've been in pleasurable situations. And the reality is I can find good and pleasurable components to every moment of life. Even times when it was really difficult, those pleasures are there. Now, I have not always been enlightened enough to notice them or use them, but this is a journey I'm on with you. I'm telling you about it because I know that it is true, not because I'm a master of it. Some things I'm going to teach you because I'm a master of them. Some things I'm going to teach you because I know them. And this is one of those. And so when we approach healing itself, when we approach our physical bodies, we need to be enjoying the journey. We need to actually be having a good time right then. Richard Scholes made an interesting comment. He actually has lots of things to say about this, and I hope you'll go online. You can find a YouTube video or YouTube recording anyway of Richard Scholes giving, I think he calls it his 20 points or 20 steps to powerful health, something like that. If you order from Richard Scholes' company, which is the American Botanical Pharmacy, you'll find, and he has many good products and great information, and you'll find that you can request that they send you that 20 Steps to Powerful Health recording, and they'll just send it to you for free with your order. So that will help you get on the path to healing because he teaches you about things in life you've got to change in order to get into a healing mode. And one of them is you need to be having a good time. And he talks about memorizing jokes, and he talks about throwing away, giving away, selling a third of what you own. And he talks about helping other people. But in another setting, not in that specific recording, but in another setting, I remember him talking about if you've got something about your body that you want to change, the first step is to love that part of your body. Love it. Absolutely. Get excited. Choose to feel love and pleasure for that part of your body. And he actually talks about part of his anatomy, and it's not congruent for me to say it the way that he said it, but he talks about part of his anatomy. So like, I want to change this, but he's like, I love this. It's great. It's perfect. It's just right. And in the final analysis, it is just right. The things we have that we wish we could change, they are just right. They are an expression of what we are right now, and every part of ourselves in its own way is beautiful. I was having this discussion with somebody recently about some siblings I have that have been badly burned when they were infants or very young children. They were severely burned and they're badly disfigured. And they got to look in the mirror every day and look at that face and go, oh my goodness, the world is seeing this burned, disfigured person, right? But the reality is,
there's beauty there. That skin healed. It attached itself. It's vibrant. It has blood supply. It has follicles. It sweats and it secretes oil to keep it healthy. That skin is still protecting them, and it's still allowing them to express their life through it. Even though it's a barrier that most people don't have, it's a barrier of beauty. It's a barrier of expression in spite of the horrible thing that happened. And in fact, the horrible thing that happened was an expression of other circumstances. And maybe it's not their fault or their doing, but it's still an expression. And therefore, in its own way, is this beautiful, organized thing. And we really need to begin to see that beauty within each situation that we're living in. And it can be very hard sometimes. And I've got a favorite saying, and you're going to hear it a lot if you listen to many of my podcasts, but there are many things that are understandable, but are still not acceptable. So it's understandable for me, because of my short leg, to be upset and frustrated by that. It's understandable for me to let that, which my natural nervous system state is one that's not having a good time. It's not having a good time because I'm under constant neurological stress, right? It's understandable for me to just stay there, but it's not really acceptable, because staying there is damaging my health. So I'm going to have to make a change to start having a good time with what is. Now, as a kid, like I said, they're not having a good time neurologically. They don't know what to do about it. They can't override it. As adults, if it doesn't get fixed and you grow up and you still have it, you're still going to have to deal with it in some way. So, but you have enough experience that you can override the I'm not having a good time and instead start to have a good time. And it will change your body. It will change your healing state. It will change your healing potential. It will change your vital state. And it will allow you to enter into a world of healing. And all the things we talk about here help. I've talked lots about malnutrition and how difficult that is for us because we are malnourished, but as you get that nutrition back, it's going to be easier and easier for you to do what I just talked about in this recording, which is start having a good time. Easier, but you still have to choose it.